and welcome. It's yet another Star to Steer Her By, your favorite Star Trek watching podcast, where we're watching all of the Enterprise.
Woo.
As you know, since you've been listening for 344 episodes
now,
and all our specials too, which count towards something, this is Ames.
This is Caitlin.
Jake.
Dan, this is Chris.
Neat.
That counts towards something. A few more, and you'll get a free pass to not have to listen to these episodes about Enterprise.
We should have a loyalty program.
We should.
You earn a one-up.
We do have a loyalty program. It's called We Keep Doing This Show for the three people that listen.
As of today,
oh,
the total number of episodes online is 393.
Wow, we're
close. Almost to 400. That's crazy.
Yeah.
400.
Madness. But we're doing the Enterprise right now. We're in season three, which proves to be this whole arc thing, finding the enemy.
Well, thank God.
Doing the stuff, which is something. So the episodes we're looking at this week are going to be Rajin and Impulse. And our theme this week is shoot her! Because when you have stun setting on your phasey guns, fucking use it when bitches are being impossible. Jesus Christ. So many times these two episodes, it's like, shoot this bitch. Ask her more questions. Shoot the fucking bitch. Okay. We'll get into this. We're going to start with Rajin. Rajin stuff. So here we go. The Zindi Council is still bickering and bickering and bickering over how to kill humans.
It's so annoying.
Because somehow they're even less prepared for this than Archer that is. And they started it. Like, Zindi, morons. Holy crap.
Well, listen, Chris and I listen to this podcast called Small Town Murder, and it's just week after week after week of people who do a murder and have no next step planned ever. Like, ever.
And yet somehow it makes for good listening.
It does make for good listening.
It's amazing how
funny.
Watching the shit they try to come up with. Honestly, sometimes it's even funnier when they have a plan, because these people always think they're way smarter than they are.
Because their plan is, like, to put dead body pieces in their basement ceiling.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's selection bias, because you're only going to hear about the killers who got caught.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so, like, all
course.
The really smart murderers that do know how to get away with a crime, they might be sitting right across from you at a table right now.
Yeah, doing a podcast.
But see, that wouldn't be as fun. Because I think they find the
honestly,
comedy
Jake,
stupid.
Honestly, Jake, do it.
Killing.
I don't care.
Whoa, wait,
I've lived a good life.
No, don't you dare. That'd be very sad.
No. The first rule of Murder Club is you don't murder people that you're connected to.
No, you absolutely
you
don't
murder people in Murder Club.
And especially not your spouse. Never murder your spouse.
Yeah, no spouse.
Like, just get a divorce.
Yeah.
Or hire somebody.
Murder a prostitute, call her your wife's name.
Prostitute, hobo. Fine, fair game. People you know, spouse, children, forget it. Stupid.
And definitely don't kill someone after you've gone on at length about how you wish you could just fucking
yeah.
kill that person yeah. to everyone
known
you know.
Enemies,
and on social
don't
media.
Do it.
Everybody. It's like, oh, 24 of his friends came by and were like, yeah, all of us heard him say he wanted to kill her, and he offered half of us money to do it.
Okay, hold on. We're gonna redo the intro. Welcome to 10 forward number whatever the fuck.
We're not doing this.
Talking
now.
About whatever. No, I know.
No.
Obviously.
I love that I'm one sentence into the scenario.
Also, for the love of God, stop taking your cell phones with you, because those ping towers,
whoa, for
man.
For real, they'll be like, I was in Barbados, and it's like, oh, that's funny, because your cell phone pinged in fucking 20 miles away from where you live where this murder happened.
So, the Zindi are bickering.
Oh, my point was that
there's
I'm not...
still a point? Holy
yeah,
shit.
There was a point?
The point was, it's not super surprising that they didn't have a good, like, backup second step type plan. Because they just kind of figured, I don't know, we'll kill 7 million people and that'll be that.
True.
No, but we don't need to have any fucking follow-up.
But then human shadow figure man is telling us they're going to wipe you out, so...
Well, that is their plan. Their plan is to build a bigger version of the probe that
yeah.
killed Florida.
They're just idiots and tested it on Florida, giving Archer all the info he needs.
Yeah, like, why would you do They're that? Idiots. Why would you not
Well, let's get through the synopsis first.
Because I got other complaints about these Zindi bozos.
Oh, I don't know. I'm Team Zindi, so.
Wow.
So anyway, so while the Zindi Council is planning to create a bioweapon, the Enterprise crew is seeking Trillium D, because that seems to be the only thing that protects us in the anomaly-ridden expanse that we've heard that it actually is, but who knows. So we gotta go down to this bizarre world and make a deal with this...
Bizarre world, not bizarre world.
Did I say bizarre? Bizarre.
Bizarre. I don't know, I don't know what you said, I just wanted to make it clear to the listeners.
It did sound like she was talking about a bizarre world, It is a bizarre world.
It's a bizarre bizarre.
If I could draw, I would tell you a bizarre world, which is just like a B shopping mall.
Oh, a sentence and a half into the synopsis.
Keep going.
You guys are great.
Two Woo! And a half sentences, Ames. Come on.
No.
Let's not use hyperbole.
We're right here.
Oh, you literally wrote it out.
Yes.
Ames is so
this
good.
This is how I do.
She's better at this than the rest of us.
I try to be concise, and it does not help.
Well.
All right, so we're on Bizarre World to make a deal with this chemist, Bharat Ood, whom I like. And he hints at, this slave dealer, Zajad, has info on the Zindi. But it turns out he mostly just wants to sell Archer slaves. When Archer's like, fuck this, and storms off, as he is wont to do. But then one of the slave girls, Rajin, titular... escapes from the market and throws herself on Archer's mercy. So Archer decides, I'll bring her along because she's hot. Good job, Archer.
And because I'm such a good guy.
I'll rescue you and feel like the big man. And he promises to take her to her homeworld, even though she never stated that was where she wanted to go. But great. All right, we'll do this.
Literally. He's like, all right, where are you from? I haven't been there for a long time. Yeah, we'll drop you off. Don't worry about it.
She couldn't try to escape that homeworld. He doesn't know. But anyway, she wants to thank him for all the saving her he did with sexual favors. Because
Staking a blowjob?
How episodes of television go, which is gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it turns out she just starts x-raying his head and body, which is also gross. And Regine meets Sato in the hallway and gets all seductive and does the same x-ray weird thing with her.
I'd love to hear your language. I know many.
I want to know your tongue.
Oh.
She's a cunning linguist, Q.
Oy.
Oh, boy.
But then we go over to T'Pol's room, and Regine tries to have a sexy off with T'Pol. And T'Pol, using her Vulcan abilities of various sorts, fights off the advances just long enough to go into a coma.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, T'Pol, you did.
And to be rescued by a man.
Oh, I'm waiting. That's the next sentence, you see. Trip, it turns up, for his hourly fuck massage.
Fuck massage.
Which comes up a fucking lot.
It's daily, not hourly yet.
Listen, he had had one earlier that morning, and then she's like, because we're so tired out from figuring out the Trillium D problem, come by again.
She's going to figure out his D problem.
So clearly Regine is a baddie here. We figured that out at least. We get to see some of the cool Zindi ships that we talked about before in a blogtivity a while back, so you're definitely following the blog for those. Just hop over to sshvpodcast.com.
Whoop.
And some of the reptilians and Zindis board the ship, and there's a really fun showdown with these really banging weapons, literally. And they escape with Regine in tow. And we're like, crap, back at the Zindi Council. We're about to throw the plan for the bioweapon out the window. But Regine strides in and shares all the medical data that she acquired using, I'm guessing, the x-ray thing that she did. Rejoice! Team Zindi!
No, Regine.
The end.
Okay, so fuck this episode for basically redoing the T'Pol assault from Fusion.
Oh, shit.
It was very similar.
I mean, it was an assault. It wasn't a mind rape.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was. There was psychic shit involved.
They said that she, fried her
and she,
shit.
Repeatedly said stop. It was just like, really? We're fucking doing the same scene? Like, what? Fucking fuck Berman. I really just hope.
I just really like pretty women to be sexually assaulted.
I just really just feel like the man should be preemptively thrown in prison for everyone else's protection. Also, that ending?
What ending?
Which one?
The episode?
With the Zindi Council?
Yeah, where it's just like, take her away! And that's it.
Oh yeah, we'll never see her again.
Like, well, not even that, but even they didn't even just cut to one of the other Zindi doing a excellent or something. It just ends with the most awkward, abrupt shot ever. What a terrible episode.
Yeah, so speaking of the Zindi, here's a question. They're all sitting around their table.
Yep.
And they're, you know, they're
Some of them are floating around their table.
They're planning.
Some of them are chittering around their table.
They're planning the destruction of Earth.
Yes.
And they're constantly complaining about, oh, the Enterprise, this Earth ship is, they destroyed something over here. They fucked up some shit over here. They obviously have superior weapons. They can go through these portals
mm-hmm.
and show up wherever.
They have cool explodey guns.
They have cool explodey guns. Well, they just have better ships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ships Why the fuck haven't they just destroyed the Enterprise?
Well, you brought up an amazing point. Like, if they're looking for info for this bio weapon and they need to know like human anatomy or some shit.
Yeah. Kidnap some fucking humans. Yeah, abduct
Don't trust
humans.
This bitch. Like how did you know this was gonna fucking work?
What they
work?
Should have done, right, is okay, plan A was to get the info from her. But that didn't work out as well because she got found out. So plan B should have been storm the Enterprise, board it, take prisoners, maybe you don't even need them alive. Maybe it's dead or alive. Who knows? Get some fucking humans and then blow up Enterprise.
Yep.
Problem solved.
It's easy to blow that thing
up. I have a gun in my room. I can get it. We'll shoot them together. It'll be fun.
I was also thinking, too, like, because we were talking about, you know, at the start of the season, like, what kind of ass, or at the end of the season, whatever, what kind of asshole tests their test version of a weapon on what is ultimately the final target.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're sort of blowing that element of surprise
I
would have been well served by.
Two things. It's still stupid, because either way, people know something might be coming. But if it hadn't been for Time Daddy being like, here's who did this, Earth would have been like,
where do we even start?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would have been fine, too, because we know that Earth would have torn itself apart freaking out about it.
Yeah, well, but either way,
people are stupid.
That's one thing. But the other thing, too, is, like, it was specifically a reptilian found in the sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And considering from what we have learned from the Council, they seem like the most eager to just fuck shit up in any way possible.
Oh, they're my favorite. The reptilians are great.
They may have just done that on their own without telling the rest of the council.
The council doesn't seem to, like, have their shit together as a unit. Like, they don't agree on fucking anything. They seem to hate each other, which is fine.
Having been on multiple committees in an office, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. So here's my fix for, like, not the whole show, but, like, the Zindi problem.
You're only one man, Jake.
So, you have after the probe attacks Earth.
Yep.
We don't have Time Daddy. We skip Time
fuck
Daddy.
That.
We recovered a corpse from the wreckage of the thing.
Yeah.
And there's a reference deep in the Vulcan database with a DNA match for something. We've never interacted with them, but we believe they're called the Zindi, and we believe they live in the Delphic.
Yeah, and that's because we know the Vankara got destroyed, not destroyed, but they tore themselves to pieces in the Expanse.
Yeah,
they have at least that.
Yeah, so they know that they have. Oh, we've interacted with these people before, once or twice, but we don't know anything really about them.
And we don't want to go there because bad things happen in the Expanse.
And then of course, you know, Starfleet's like, well, we got to, you know, they attacked Earth. We got to do something. We got to just go. We got to send our ship in blindly, guns blazing. 9/11 metaphor.
Well, and also, what did we solve the problem I had last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever? Where, like, they're going in all pissed off, even though they have explicitly been told the Zindi have been manipulated.
Yeah, if it was just a surprise attack, that gives them more justification for being angry.
And then you could have had a better story where they're like, oh shit, you guys were manipulated, and we have a Star Trek moment where everyone sits down and goes, oh fuck.
It would be much more interesting to learn later that they were doing this as a way to preempt the future than to know now.
Yeah.
Because right now, like you said, you know that they've been manipulated by Time Lords.
But Archer's still acting like they did this on their own half the time.
And you could still have the scenes with the Zindi Council.
Oh, yeah.
But we just don't, as the audience, we don't know why they hate Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We just know that they do. And
that
they
is
won't.
More interesting.
They could keep dropping cryptic references to something.
Like, well, we have to get rid of them because you know what will happen.
And then you know what you could have done? Instead of having Time Daddy inexplicably helping, he could have been behind it. Been like, all my subtle shit with the Suliban was not working. I'm going to find these lunatics and manipulate them. Mm. Which, I mean, I say don't involve the Temporal Cold War at all, but this is clearly what Star Trek wanted to do.
But they didn't have a plan.
Right.
Now here's another possible fix for another big issue. Instead of the probe having been a test, it was the weapon. It was intended to destroy Earth,
but it
malfunctioned. Interesting. And like, so we can have scenes with the Zindi Council where they're like, "We tried your plan with the fucking probe. It didn't work. We're gonna do the bioweapon
Which
now."
Which would make the animosity make a lot more sense too.
Yeah. I like our Zindi much better.
Yeah. So like, if it was like, yeah, they built the weapon, it didn't work, so now they're not, the threat isn't another thing like that.
Yeah.
The threat is some other apocalyptic thing, bioweapon, other doomsday device that they're working on.
Yeah, and that thing is Starfleet, again, they don't even have to know, like, the plan is to destroy Earth, they just know they were attacked.
Yep.
You know, like, so they're racing against, they don't know, you know? It's like, is the plan to destroy us utterly? What is happening? There'd actually be a bit more mystery. Again, the characters' attitudes would feel a little more justified. And again, if this was a better version of Star Trek, it would end in a Star Trek way.
Also, there is a missing Zindi species. So we have,
yes,
we have the humanoids.
We learn about them next week.
Oh, okay.
Foreshadowing.
I happen to have done the research already, so... look forward to that.
Wait, so the council only has the four?
Five.
Well, no.
There should be a sixth.
I think there should be. That wasn't even the one I was referring to.
Oh, shit.
I think there should be. This is not in the show. Is what
I'm
saying. This is my
see.
Invention.
Okay.
Oh.
Ignore that foreshadowing, everyone.
There should be the android Zindis.
Whoa.
That are...
Shut your mouth.
That are...
the most fuckable Zindis.
You know, maybe not quite Soon-type androids.
No, they would be played by Brent Spiner.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Oh my god.
He's the
go.
Entire Zindi Council.
There you go. Like, there's like a shadowy figure directing the Zindi Council. We find out that's like, we've been living under the thumb of the android Zindis for too long. And then we meet the shadowy figure and it's just fucking lore.
No. That would be so fantastic.
Lore's like, I gotta kill Starfleet before they kill me.
On the one hand, it's fan wanky. On the other hand, it's probably better than what they're actually doing right now.
I say better than we're actually getting, for sure, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And lore having used Borg time travel technology to go back in time and destroy Earth makes way more sense than what they do with Spiner later in the show.
It makes more sense than the whole Temporal Cold War, frankly.
Yes, if the Temporal Cold War was literally just lore fucking around...
That would actually
the
make...
The Temporal Cold Lore.
Yeah. Hey. That would make so much more sense than literally everything they've done.
And even if it didn't, at least it would probably make for better television.
Well, also, you could use something, maybe not lore specifically, but if there was a connection...
Rainbow connection?
It would make more sense why the Zindi don't just destroy the Enterprise, because the leader of the Zindi just, he wants to, like, I want to rub it in their faces.
There we
fucking
go.
Humans.
My god, it was Quark.
Yeah. Man, our version is so much better.
I like it. I'm here for it.
But yeah, the Zindi Council itself is fun, just watching these guys shout at each other.
Yeah, I also like all the guest stars we get, because they're also very fun. The makeup of the physical aliens is good. The CGI is...
For the time.
Not the best, but it's, you know, it's fine. I like the dugong people and the insect people. Like, seeing them is interesting.
The dugongs and the zoraks, as I call them.
I wish we could tell apart their individual threads a little better, but because right now it's like, yes, the reptiles and the insects seem to be assholes. The more humanoid looking ones, I think those are the primates.
Yeah, one's the primates and one's the simian, I think.
Arboreals. Which isn't confusing at all.
No, not in the least.
Yeah, because they're clearly still primates.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's two types of monkey person.
Yes.
Gross.
There's the monkey types and the human types. Yeah, they should have been more like sloth-like or something.
Oh, we love a sloth.
Oh. It's hard to imagine an aggressive sloth.
Oh.
Like, I think even if they tried, just be like, I disagree.
Mm. We'll never get anything done on this council as long as the sloth Zindi take 4 hours to get out of
sentence. Actually, there are sloths, Indy. They're still trying to get to the council.
Yeah. You were right. We are missing a sixth species. It's the sloths, and they're still on their way.
There's actually just so... I think we need to come up with more and more Zindi every week till by the end there's just thousands of Zindi.
I think what we actually need to do is have a 10 forward where we rewrite this entire show and make it really good.
We kind of just did.
Yeah, but I mean, I think...
Oh, the whole show.
I mean, like, flesh it out.
Should that be our Enterprise fanfic is to better rewrite Enterprise?
I mean, our fanfic will definitely be better don't Enterprise.
So this actual, like, we're jumping off from ideas inspired by this episode. Does anyone have specifics about this episode?
Let's start with a beginning-y scene, because we start with Archer has some kind of rash that a different reviewer said was itchy. Left over from the Lokek virus.
That was my assumption,
seemed to be
too.
The implication is based on what Phlox said.
Because also said he was still having weird dreams from the Lokek virus, but I didn't make the connection that the rash was the same thing.
Yeah, that was just my assumption. Yeah. It doesn't make it too clear. It's weird watching them try to have this continuity, because I don't remember.
They don't usually do that.
But I feel like it's probably never going to come up again after this.
Yeah.
Probably not. But it would've been... I did see a fan... like, mentioned somewhere, like, what if, since Regine took the bio scans of Archer, Reed, and Hoshi...
Oh, that's interesting.
...the people from Extinction, what if now the bioweapon won't work?
Oh, and
that's
T'Pol, because
brilliant.
T'Pol,
yeah.
she
was also infected.
Yeah,
with
if
them.
They think that, like, huh, these humans are very low-kek-like.
But that will certainly not come up. Don't
that,
worry.
Again,
that's
if this was
bad,
a better
that's
show...
great.
That would have been amazing, because then maybe in a later episode, they capture one of them to test it on, and they're like, ha-ha! And, you know, he's just standing there, kind of like Scotty when he tried the knockout bomb in Spectre of the Gun. And he's just like, I'm fucking fighting, Captain. You know, you do it on trips, like, is this supposed to be doing something?
But then you find an Archer and he fucking explodes.
Nice. And now T'Pol's the captain.
Hooray, as it should be.
And she finally gets to put on some real clothes.
Hey, it's kind of clearing my sinuses. This is great. Can I get the recipe for this?
There was supposed to be a scene where she used it on Mayweather, but then they would have had to include Mayweather.
Poor Mayweather. I think it's in the next episode. There's one where they cut to Mayweather doing that. Hey, Mayweather!
Look at you go!
Well, wasn't he the one that in the second episode was like, you heard the captain, get the crew down here. I was like, yeah, good job, Travis. I was so excited. I will say one thing I liked about this episode. I liked how excited the merchant dude was about spices.
That's true. That was fucking great.
I thought that was a really fun thing.
I want to see his cooking show. It's going to be amazing.
Like, that, I'll admit, like, that was great.
I want to see him try cocaine.
Because they kind of definitely set him up as, like, your typical kind of, like, just another slimy creep, like the Platinum guy. Who I meant to mention in that episode, and I forgot.
Platinum guy. Oh, a Renek friend?
Yeah. Like, he was so obsessed with liquid platinum. I was like... I'm pretty sure for his species, liquid platinum is a drug. But
that's
this
what he's
dude, yeah. But this dude, he's like, he's all kind of like creepy and weird, and then it's just like spices, and I was like, that's fucking. And Trip had a point. People literally did fight wars over these things on our planet. Like,
And I think I do think it is. It's amusing how like they're all the spices are just very common spices to us, but they're. Very exotic and new to him.
Well, I've always said, like, people like, oh, ways to make money if you had a time machine. I'm like,
that's what
buy a $2 thing of salt, go back to 1650, and get a pile of gold.
I was just having this conversation the other day, like, literally, how that would be the best way, like, and be like, take a little saffron, you would blow fucking minds with saffron.
Because saffron's still, relatively
saffron
speaking,
is still
expensive.
Yeah,
I mean,
so...
again, nowhere near what it would have been then, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you could make good on that real easy.
Bartering with spices was a really nice touch. That's like a highlight in this otherwise clusterfuck of an episode.
The here's something I didn't love.
Wow, such
how we totally like just completely abandon the B plot about a third of the way in, which with
the trying to
synthesizing Trillium D.
Well, that's because that's going to be a longer plot thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it does come up in the second episode a little. Like,
well, in the second episode, they find a new source of Trillium D.
Yeah, well, I think the Trillium D issue, it feels like they want to have be kind of an arc.
Yeah, you get a little incremental like
yield unobtainium.
Yeah, it was fine. Like they blew something up and it was cute, and then that and that led to more massage time with T'Pol.
Hell yeah,
I love that.
So much massage time with T'Pol.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why they did it the way they did, Jake. It was so he would be showing up just in the nick of time, rather than having T'Pol save herself.
Except here's another thing, stupid T'Pol. fucking yell when you're in this fight, because
maybe she couldn't.
Psychic stuff. No, she was fine.
She was at that point. She had already broken the spell, and she was fighting with the woman. If she had just yelled, Trip could have heard her through the door, probably, and he wouldn't have been standing out there with his dick in his hand for 2 minutes.
I was about to say, well, maybe the rooms are soundproof, but they always hear when someone yells come in, so...
He'd be standing inside with his dick in his hands, watching this, Oh, sorry.
All right, lady fight!
Oh, yeah, they way too over-sexied that lady fight.
Oh, because every...
She gropes her boobs when she's trying to do the scan.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Come on, really? It was vile. I'm shocked that we didn't get the x-ray of the boobs.
Oh. I'm surprised, goddamn, network standards, man. Like, I'm surprised they were allowed to do that as far as they did.
Yeah, it sounds pretty gay, actually. I mean, they're not usually into that.
You know, UPN, Paramount owned the network.
True.
They would have, they owned the censors. And really, it's like the censors.
I believe you'll find it's pronounced censors.
Censors. The censors are only as stringent as the advertisers.
Yeah, want them.
So, like, if no advertisers are raising a stink, as long as it didn't, you know, violate FCC rules, I'm sure they'd get away with it.
And that's the thing. That's on the advertisers. Like, look, we're trying to appeal to teenage boys, which is one of your main demos. So
yeah.
Turns out they like titties.
I feel like UPN's whole, like, shtick was just, like, they knew who they were. The advertisers who went with UPN knew what they were getting into. Because I feel like their whole thing was overly sexed Star Trek and wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah, which is fairly overly sexed sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Especially mostly the ladies.
Didn't they also have a lot of those, like, teen drama type shows?
True.
Probably.
Did they?
Maybe I'm mixing them up with...
Thinking of the
C-Dub? I might be thinking... But wasn't the C-Dub... born out of the like a merger?
Was it UPN and WB?
WB and UPN merged and became the CW.
Yeah.
All right. So I just remember that they had a couple hour Stooges marathon on Sundays.
Mm.
And Leslie Nielsen was like the host.
Oh, that's right. He was. Holy shit. Because
of the Naked Gun, I assume. Because that was
just a comedy icon in his own way.
Yeah. So anyway.
I forgot all about that, but you're right.
Yeah, I've been having this weird thing lately where a lot of my, like, memories of things that I haven't thought of in a long time have been coming back.
Wow. Your brain is healing from the incident.
The incident. You said you'd never talk about it.
The incident, what, the ages of 0 to 25?
It's more like 30, but yeah.
That's my incident.
Speaking of sexy time, so we see a whole bunch of these female sex slaves on the market. And the one thing that I said was, it was kind of fun seeing, like, the different aliens on Bizarre Planet.
Mm.
And the different costumes, like, the costumes, especially on the ladies, because of course they just looked like some Project Runway challenge. And I was like, okay, at least this is kind of fun.
What they should have done.
Did they have Project Runway? Who had Project Runway? It'd be interesting if that was some kind of, like...
Isn't that Bravo?
Yeah, I think they were a basic cable network.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway.
Also, was there Project Runway in 2003?
I remember being
might have been by then, but I don't know.
It might have been brand fucking new.
That'd be amazing. Tie-in episode.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That would have been pretty cool.
That would have been so much better than a lot of what they've done. Tim Gunn with some weird doodlies glued to his forehead.
Ooh. No, he wasn't in Project Runway. He was in, I'm thinking of America's Next Top Model.
Ah.
Mm.
Sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. There should have been, like, not necessarily a Zindi, but some sort of insectoid girl, too.
Ooh.
Sort of some sort of insect. Maybe could have called it a Kafkin, and it's just a big cockroach.
Ew, gross.
In, like, a bikini.
No. I don't want that.
But she still has human tits for some reason.
For some reason.
The slaver guy was in on this plot. Obviously.
Must have been.
Yeah.
You brought up, like, what the fuck?
What was it when we were on the way over? I was just like, how did they even know that they would be there? How did they know that the girl would, like, everything about this plan is so stupid. Like, I don't understand how they could have possibly planned this plan.
Yeah, well, so the Enterprise only went to this cool planet, by the way. It's like a water planet.
That, actually, that was cool, too.
Yeah.
That's right, I like that.
So they only went to this planet because they had previously met this the chemist.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yes, come visit me at my shop.
So how far does it go? Did they send the chemist also? Right. Like, is the chemist, has it been from just from the
Well, okay, so here's conspiracy theory. The Zindi go to chemists. And they're like, hey, the Enterprise is out looking for Trillium D. I want you to lure them to this planet.
Trillium D's nuts.
And, like, I want you to, instead of giving them the recipe to make Trillium D, I want you to give them the recipe for explosives. So we'll blow up their ship.
But then they accidentally gave them meth.
Yes. Well, no, and
you like the spices so much.
Because, like, that whole idea that, oh, it's very unstable in its liquid form. It would make more sense if it turned out that it really was just a bomb. like he literally gave them, like, he gave them garbage. He didn't give them Trillium D. He
gave them pinball machine parts in an old casing.
And then it would make a lot more sense that, like, oh, this was a setup by the Zindi all along.
And then Trip's like, someone set us up the bomb. And Archer's like, what'd you say? Sorry.
And then, yeah.
This is the old ways of the internet.
The other thing is, like, not only do you have to lure him there, you've got to hope he happens to go by the slave market.
Yeah.
And well, stops.
But assuming the chemist has been in it from the start, we know that he can tell him where to go.
Yeah, the chemist said go to the slave guy. He has info on Zindi.
Oh, that's right.
Of course, Archer is asking around about Zindi.
Maybe that was the whole thing.
Maybe.
And if we had gotten more on the Trillium D synthesization plot, maybe we would have learned, hey, wait a minute, this isn't actually Trillium D, it's the fucking bomb.
Oh, but I like the chemist.
I like him too, but I think...
It doesn't mean we have to not... I mean, they could have been threatening his family. He could be a perfectly good guy that was just in bad circumstances.
He could be a villain, you know.
But also, like, what the fuck does he owe these assholes? Yeah, we liked
Gul Dukat. Not that he did anything wrong, but we did love him.
Like, yeah, he doesn't fucking owe Archer shit. That, again, too, this show, I do not... I genuinely wonder if the writers are just lazy or if they're stupid. Because we continually have had people, and now it's always Archer, being like, hey, you've interacted with these people briefly. You must know everything about them. It's like, do you actually think this is how the world works?
Give me their genetic samples. Like, why would I have those?
It's like, John, not everyone info dumps their entire species history to everyone they meet like you, you fucking psychopath.
He's like, let me tell you about my dad.
But again,
we're gonna watch water polo now.
Like I said, though, it's been an issue since the beginning with the show. Because like we said, the episode with Al or whatever, where he was the you know, from...
The Dean Stockwell.
Dean Stockwell, thank you.
When they were in prison.
Yeah, when he was like, you've dealt with the Suliban, so surely you know everything about them. And it's just like, fucking what?
Yeah, but now we've switched from Suliban to Zindi.
And now Archer, it's Archer doing the stupid questioning of just like, you know, you sold this guy a pack of cigarettes once. You know his entire thing, where he lives, like...
Well, also just like Archer, every time he's talking to people lately, he's just a jackass.
In a new and awful way.
Like, I wouldn't... If I were the chemist, I wouldn't want to help him because he's not...
Well, the chemist mostly is working with Trip, who is likable.
Yeah, he's like, okay, as long as that fucking asshole captain leaves, I'll deal with you. But if this guy is a fucking prick, he comes in here acting like he owns the place. He's demanding information for free.
They had a list of stuff they
wanted. Well, yeah, but he's like, oh, as a show of good faith, why don't you tell me where this slave market is, and you know, and then Trip will work something out.
It's pretty stupid to demand money when you're just asking for, like, something like that. Like, how do I get to the slave market? I would just go outside and ask the next person that walked by.
Well, no, it wasn't. Was it how to get to the slave market, or was it who told you about the Zindi?
I think it was specifically, like, who did the Zindi ask you about?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
But yeah, it like, I imagine, you know, John leaves and first thing, yeah, sorry about him. He's kind of...
Reed was there.
Was he? When?
He was on the planet.
Oh yeah, Archer. Briefly, yeah. They tried to sell him something. at some point.
A stoat of some kind?
That oh, you could yeah, either like, have as a can't... pet
or a snack?
It was a marmoset. Aww. Marmoset. It was well, some, kind, ass- some kind of marmoset.
Archer was an asshole to that guy, too. Well,
yes, he was.
Because that guy was trying to sell him gross little monkeys.
Well.
The fuck out of here.
No, he's at a bazaar. The yeah, people like, that are gotta... there are merchants. They're going to want to sell you stuff.
Like, at least smile and nod and pretend you're maybe yeah. interested. Yeah,
instead
fucking
of,
idiot.
Instead of, like, instead of no thank you, it's... Yeah, I don't want your shit. Where the fuck's the chemist shop?
Yeah, like, at least be polite, John. Ugly John. Tourist.
Oh, my God. Ugly tourist. Hmm. It's a low blow, dude.
The one thing I did think about seeing, you know, Bazaar Planet and how there's tons of aliens, which is fun, like I said. However, it kind of flies in the face of the whole, since we live in the Delphic Expanse, this anomaly thing is constantly throwing havoc into everybody, except for all these people who are living very normal lives.
Well, because they've lived there. They know how to adapt. But yes, you're right. Know. It does feel like it should be a more
like,
fraught...
Like, half the things they should be selling should be Trillium D.
There should be more dancing on the ceiling, if yeah, not.
There should be more, hey, if you notice your fucking gravity in your ships isn't working, go to that guy.
There could be hucksters, you know? No, avoid anomaly burns with Dr. Flimflam's Miracle Tonic.
Dr. Flimflam.
I'm pretty sure that's his Futurama thing.
Well, I don't care. I love it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's the other weird thing is, like, the Zindi, like, it does seem like, and maybe we find out more, I genuinely don't remember, this isn't me trying to foreshadow, but, like, they seem to be, like, everyone's kind of heard of them, but no one knows anything about them. So they seem like... It'd be interesting to if we actually do find out, like, what their status is in the Expanse. Like, they seem to be half-mythical, almost.
I think they're just very reclusive.
That's what I mean, yeah. It's like...
I mean, they got all the friends they need in their own little club.
They hate each other so much!
Yes.
Like most little clubs.
True.
Yeah, really.
Okay, the one thing I will say that I did like about this episode was when the Zindi stormed the ship.
Mm.
Because, A, we got to see their ships, which we like. The ships are very pretty and cool.
Mm-hmm.
The reptiles' makeup and costumes are excellent.
They're very fun.
And when they shot that gun that just shot goo at the wall, I was like, I basically, my response was, ooh! And then it shot spikes at everyone. I was like, yes! I'm for these guys. Hashtag Team Zindi.
That was great. I was a little disappointed that they were kind of lazy and didn't put little spikes on the collapsed guys.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, because I was looking
maybe
for
maybe they
them.
Dissolved.
Yeah, he was just like, oh. And then, yeah, a couple of the Zoraks burst in, too, for fun.
So did those guys die?
Who the fuck
Yeah, that's
knows?
The thing. I wish they had been more clear, but yeah, because it did look like those guys were dead.
So for all we know, because they haven't addressed this, there's been one death on Enterprise crew overall.
I mean,
we finally remembered the Makos were here and had them help a tiny bit.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting too is like the Makos are blasting the Zindi with their rifles and it's doing nothing.
Mm.
And then Archer comes on with a hand phaser and takes one out right away. And I'm like, what's with deal with these weapons?
Maybe they still have the older model guns that Enterprise started.
They're supposed to be the fucking badass.
Yeah, well,
they should have the best.
Yeah, the show is written.
Yeah, but
by
Worf was supposed to be a badass, and he got taken out by a blue barrel. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Sometimes shit happens.
But yeah, I feel like here's the thing: it narratively, it does not make sense for those people to be alive. I feel like Zindi reptilian weapons do not have a stun setting.
More or less sense than it made for those dudes who were, like, in total mental collapse. And Phlox was like, they'll be okay in a couple days.
Which episode?
I don't know, a long fucking time ago. Wasn't that a thing? That a couple of dudes were, like, their minds got, not, like, wiped, but they were, like, just, remember they were, like, staring wide-eyed?
Oh, yeah, there was some episode where people's brains got semi-fried. But no, they're gonna be fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I don't remember which episode that was, but I remember that event.
Hmm.
That might have been season one.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, and like...
It's been a long road to get from there to here.
Hey.
You know what they could have done?
Canceled this show and done a better Star Trek.
In the scene where they're where they have the Zindi and the dead Zindi and Sickbay.
Sickbay?
Sickbay.
The dead Zindi and Sickbay.
I like it.
And they're doing the autopsy. If we had just seen a shot of like some bodies on like the bodies of the crew, like sheets on the table, and like Archer like takes a look at them, and then we can get more of that, like, these fucking Zindi, they fucking killed three of our guys, I'm gonna fucking go.
That's the thing, is that's why they can't do it, because he couldn't just look at it and look sad and have subtle storytelling. He would have to have started flipping tables and being like, blah, 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 John!
And then he would have screamed it to Paul, which he...
Mm-hmm. No, Reed. Usually Reed.
Well, yeah, but this time it was to Paul, because she was there after just having had a traumatic experience. And he's like, go figure shit out!
Oh, yeah, she just comes out of her coma, and he's like, can you physically stand up? And she's like, maybe. Go do hours and hours of work right now.
So, on
how
the
dare
one hand,
you lay down on the job?
On the one hand, I thought of that. Honestly, it's like, that's, like, on the one hand seems kind of cold, and on the other hand seems like exactly what a Vulcan would want you to do. Be like, you said you're good? Then get back to work. And they'd be like, yes, this is how I want to be treated. Poorly.
Wow.
Because they're all about pretending they're fine when they're not.
But first you go massage Tucker.
You're
he
just
needs it.
You're feeding into the harmful stereotype that all Vulcan women are submissive.
Oh, I meant all Vulcans. Like, they're all about pretending like, you know... How many stories have there been based around, you know, Mr. Spock stroke Tuvok stroke whomever? Are you okay? And they're like, skin is falling off. And they're just like, I'm fine. I can work.
Spock's inside the fucking warp chamber getting irradiated. They're like, how you doing? He's like, I'm feeling good, Captain.
I have another.
I can finish my reports.
All right. Cool.
I think that means we're moving on.
Hang on, let's.
Have we said anything about this episode at all?
A lot.
We've said a lot about this season as an idea.
One of the Makos had a cattle prod at one point, and I was blown away.
Well, hell yeah.
He brought some personal equipment to work.
It's getting a little kinky in here. The fuck.
And there was also a great Archer line, as you know, we're in sick bay. T'Pol just wakes up. Trip, who has been, like, clocked in the head by Regine, is there bleeding all over the place. And Archer's like, have Phlox take a look at your head. And it's like, why do you think he's here in sick bay,
well, no,
Archer?
A minute before, when Phlox was like, I should check you out, Trip's like, I'm fine. So, actually, yeah, no, Archer did have to tell him to get checked.
Yeah, is Trip part Vulcan?
No, he's just a human man.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Yep, forgot about that.
But yeah, no, that thing, that he had been like, I should give you a full whatever scan. And he was like, I don't know, it'll be all right.
Also, since we've learned in this episode that there's already, like, rumors going around the crew about Trip and T'Pol.
Oh, God, that was dumb.
It was dumb. But now, wait a minute. Trip and T'Pol were found unconscious in
a state of undress.
In her quarters.
Dick in hand.
With the alien girl. Hmm.
Oh, yeah. A little menage a Troy.
Menage a Trip.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking good. Well done, Jake.
That's what Jake is here for.
The rumor mill's going to be working overtime now.
Oh, they already had to burn out the pepper mill to get the Trillium.
Good one. I have one final note, and this is a sad note. This is the final reference we're going to get to crewman Cutler when Phlox mentions she broke her arm doing something.
Oh, right, because what's her name died?
Yeah, Kelly Waymire dies a month after this episode airs, so we don't get to see more of her.
What did she die?
A heart condition?
Yeah, she had like a heart condition she was born with.
Fuck me.
Just like went bad quickly.
That's not okay. Yeah. The poor thing.
Yeah, because I liked her in Enterprise well enough. I wish we saw more of her before. Yeah.
I wish she didn't want to fuck Phlox so bad, but whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat, sister.
Oh, you said before, you know, character flaws make you interesting.
Well, and she, you know.
And can you get a greater flaw? Let's find out as we move on to Impulse. So we start this episode in medio res with T'Pol being restrained by Archer and Phlox and screaming about something or other until we get this one day earlier screen to see what the hell happened. And what the hell happened is that the Celea, which is a Vulcan ship that disappeared even before the Vankara, is sending out a distress call from an asteroid field. So Archer, T'Pol, Reed, and our Mako of the Week, Hawkins, take a shuttle pod to go check it out. And what we find on the Celea is that the whole Vulcan crew has turned into zombies.
Vulcan one of them.
Which just happens.
They're out of their Vulcan minds.
And oh no, now T'Pol is turning into one too. So this half of the plot kind of just turns into a mini horror film for quite a while. And the other half of the plot that's going on is Trip and Mayweather have been tasked with collecting more Trillium ore from the asteroids, which are especially out of control because this week the writers remembered that the Expanse is supposed to have weird physics and shit. So they do that, and the rest of that side of the plot just kind of happens. It's fine. So it turns out, oh no, Trillium D that we need to shield the ship from all the anomalies and shit in the expanse is the thing that turns Vulcans feral. Yeah,
super fucking toxic to Vulcans.
Whoopsie, which throws a whole wrench in our plan to somehow shield the ship, because T'Pol's condition got real bad real fast, guys. So now, well, basically we need to escape from zombies. We stun T'Pol, you know, after Aiel shoot her for several scenes, because she's going through what would be just the violent side of Ponfar, the better side. And we pull, at the end, another dead stop when we destroy the Vulcan ship because Phlox has claimed that everyone else is beyond saving, if you can believe him. Well, the end.
They didn't intentionally destroy the ship. It was exploding anyway.
Was it exploding? Okay.
No, I thought they said to self-destruct.
I thought they mucked something up, but there was a lot going on. I thought Archer had something to do with it.
I thought it was just like, oh, the warp core is fucked up and it's going to explode. We got to get.
They were
out
having
here.
Trouble with like the transceiver something transponder and something about overloading the warp core. I feel like they did it on purpose. I feel like it was manufactured, but I don't remember the details.
Okay. All I know is there was a big change this week. Reed got shouted at by T'Pol instead of Archer.
I should have watched you.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not much to say about this one.
Star Trek does a zombie episode.
It's a very straightforward zombie thing. The zombies were very inconsistent because sometimes they were just zombies and sometimes they knew how to say close doors behind them.
Yeah, I also don't understand how you're a zombie, but also keep yourself alive this long.
Well,
like, are they stopping and having meals?
I don't know that they were
zombies
per se. I just think that they were completely Vulcans just without any filtering.
But they weren't
keeping their shit maintained. Like, they, on the one hand, were too focused on
fighting and.
But they weren't fighting each other. Yeah, they were only going to fight Archer.
Yeah, that's the thing. If they had been killing each other, that would have made sense.
Which is what we saw on the Vankara, where they tore each other to pieces.
Yeah. That would have been a better episode. They get on and there's like these multiple factions that are taking different parts of the ship. And like they're still.
And they weren't just mindless?
Yeah, they're crazy, but they're coherent.
Yeah,
but there's no reasoning with any of them, like, so either way, you're fucked.
If they were just, like, super fucking paranoid, if they weren't...
Like, we form words with my human mouth. Like we saw T'Pol getting to be with the paranoia, right? So, like, because she never went that bad.
Yeah, if, like, we find the captain, he's not, like, zombie. He's just, like, shooting on sight, and they finally, like, get him, and he's shouting, "Murderers, assassins!"
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool callback to
Bones.
I liked that.
Aw, Bones.
So there was no need, though, for T'Pol to have a personal connection to this ship. That was dumb. And like, what are the chances? Also, I did note the name, right? Isn't Mount Celeo where they had to bring Spock's corpse?
Yeah. Six?
Three.
Three. Wow. Way off.
I feel like the Vulcans don't really get around that much, though. Like, it kind of feels like they would much rather just leave everybody to their own devices. So, if she's a seafaring Vulcan and these are seafaring Vulcans, perhaps it makes sense for them to know each other. Because maybe there's really not that big of a subsection of Vulcans that like to do the thing.
It does seem like the Vulcans, who famously are not explorers, they claim, what are they even doing all the way out here?
Well, you gotta go to places to, you know, culturally dominate.
That's true.
It's probably another monastery stroke hidden base to spy on the Andorians with or something.
This Trillium D is pretty blue.
Actually, that's
what
it was.
Everyone else is blue.
Fucking the
Andorians.
The Andorians knew what a mess the expanse was and were like, fuck with the Vulcans. And they purposely leaked information claiming they were making inroads there.
Oh, snap.
Actually, that's kind of great. I love that idea.
Our fucking Enterprise is so good.
It's great.
Why couldn't these people that were getting paid lots of money to make Star Trek do it as well as we could?
That's a good damn question.
Why isn't Star Trek paying us lots of money to write episodes?
Yeah, because 90% of their MO was, let's find newer and stupider ways to get T'Pol in as little as clothing as possible.
And I would be great at that. Maybe she just really likes hot yoga. It doesn't even have to be that good of an idea.
It would have been a great thing for them to have done this season.
Anything else?
Can't cancel the show.
Shran, before they leave for the expanse, Shran shows up and he's like, "Well, pink skin. Well, I got fucking
pink skin.
I got laughed out of the the Andorian military for helping, you know, for this...
Oh, yeah, Terra took over.
This disastrous Vulcan peace treaty you got me involved in.
Get him, Susie Plaxum.
So I got nowhere else to go.
This Vulcan disaster.
I guess I'm going to join your fucking crew, and we're going to go fuck up some Zindis.
I am not a merry man.
That's a stretch, but okay.
It's not really,
it's
because...
It's an excuse to get Jeffrey Combs on the show more.
There was talk when they were maybe going to... do a fifth season of making him a regular.
Yeah, but it wouldn't just be a, I'm going to join your ship because you need more Jeffrey Combs.
No, I know, but they were literally thinking we need more. Yeah, they could have done it in season three.
But this isn't a thought out thing. I mean,
it's not
I'm sure we could come up with a way to make sense that,
Shran
is there.
Maybe there's also an Andorian ship they have to save, and he's like, I'm going to come along and see if he comes up.
Maybe it's actually a plot, and he's on a secret mission because the Andorians want to form an alliance with the Zindi against the Vulcans.
Nice.
There we go.
I like that.
Damn, we write a good show.
We do.
Is there a way to get Jeffrey Combs on the show and to get to Paul in less clothing?
Yes. In fact, oh boy, there was a... Speaking of how bad the writers fucking are on this show... The original ending, you know, when T'Pol is coming out of her insanity.
She was naked.
She's just horny.
Nope, it would have had Archer kiss her.
Ugh.
And Braga rejected that. And thank you, Brannon.
I did love, though, during her what turns out to be a dream of movie night, the fucking face Trip makes when she shoots down Phlox.
Nice.
Did you see the face he made?
I don't think I saw the Trip face, but I was so glad for her to
wait, movie
down
night
Phlox
was a
again.
Dream?
Yeah, yeah. Remember? Because then she's attacked by a zombie and she wakes up in sickbay.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But
that's too bad.
Yeah.
Because I was like, of course Phlox is also a fucking movie talker.
Well, we did have a non-dream movie night where he was talking and she shut him down.
Yeah, so it was all based in reality. Fucking goddamn Phlox.
But yeah, when she... tells him to, you know, use logic more quietly or whatever. Just Dominic Keating, or is that Reed?
That's Trip.
Okay, yeah, he makes just the most...
No, wait, that's
Dominic
wrong.
Dominic Keating is Reed.
Okay,
Colin
Trinneer.
Charles Tucker III.
He makes, like, just the best, like, over-the-top, like, ooh, you were sassy
you
face.
Were
like, if you get a chance, go back, watch the last minute just to see the face he makes. It is hysterical. Also, I'm kind of sad it was a dream, though, because, one, that's just dumb. But two, they were eating popcorn out of fucking bowls this time and not Pyrex. But since it was a dream, we don't know what they are actually eating popcorn out of now.
Yeah, the Makos brought their own bowls.
Yeah, they were like, what the fuck are you assholes eating popcorn out of?
I didn't quite understand the whole nightmare sequence at the end, because apparently...
Episode ran short.
The episode ran short and they tacked it on. No, you're wrong. Did you read that note? That is
exactly
what
happened. I was kidding.
Happened.
Jesus fucking...
That's exactly
what
happened.
This is what we always used to say when we would watch, like, Doctor Who serials. If the, like, recap was more than 30 seconds, we'd be like, oh, well, this fucking...
This ran short.
That's
literally what happened.
That's
amazing.
Literally what happened. They tacked on this nightmare sequence at the end of T'Pol being like, oh, it's not over yet.
We
and I'm like,
just
why?
Just had, like, 30 more seconds of what's-her-name groping. No, wait, that was the last episode.
We could have just had movie night make fun of Phlox. And that's it. It didn't have to have been a nightmare.
Yeah, that's true.
If it really, like, oh my god.
I mean, I like that they're like, oh, there's going to be lasting effects, but I'm sure we're never going to hear of this again.
No.
It was very silly.
Last week was the last we'll have heard of extinction. This will be the last we hear of fucking this.
Yeah, this was also the shortest teaser that we get in all of Star Trek when we just see her doing the screaming and...
See, I thought that they fucked up. I think that the whole teaser...
It was 18 seconds.
Yeah, I think they should have gone, because they have the teaser, and then we have the intro, and then we have more of the teaser.
That's true, they did.
They had more of her freaking out in sickbay.
Yeah, and then go back a day.
Yeah.
And then we never see that scene from the teaser again. You just left to think, oh, that must have been what happened between here and here.
Yeah, I think what they should have done is, the whole teaser should have ended with her going, you know, her going, getting strapped down and put into the machine. And then we go to the intro, and then it opens with not the fucking title card, you know, 24 hours earlier, whatever the fuck it said. We just open up, and we infer, as the intelligent audience members, that it's this is the events that led up to it.
No.
That idea is
never
right out
trust
the window.
The audience.
What? They're not that smart. No. I wouldn't get it. If they jumped back in time from that scene, I would not understand
what
they
were. You don't
think so? No.
Jake, how much live theater have you worked on and you think audiences are smart still?
That's fair. Okay, even if we did have the title, I still think it would have made more sense to start the first act with the open, you know, the previous day bit.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Yes, to stop the teaser after that, and then after
and then the first act,
the opening
begins.
Go back. Okay, that makes a little more sense because we didn't need such a short teaser.
No,
considering they ended up running short anyway.
Certainly more memorable than a lot of their cold opens.
That's true. That is true. But then you're left wondering what the fuck is going on. Like, there's a podcast that I listen to it's very, like, suspense-y action drama thing. Mm. But every so often they do this thing where they jump around in time, which doesn't really work easily on a podcast because you can't tell when things are happening.
Yeah, no, like, unless you literally have someone go, one day, hell yeah!
And you're like, oh, wait, did we just jump back? I have no idea where in this thing we are right now. God damn it.
3 hours later.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, did they do that so that people watching it linearly would have, that, like, came late? If, like, because here's the thing, it was only an 18-second intro, so if you turn on the TV 18 seconds too late...
Mm. You're in the fucking title sequence. Yeah,
and then you turn the channel, because fuck that song.
So maybe it was originally set up like that, but then they were like, oh, we should move some of this to be after the song so that we at least... give latecomers a chance to see what's happening.
Yeah, I even questioned starting in media res anyway, though.
Not necessary.
Because there are times when it's interesting when you wonder, oh, how did we get here? With this one, my note is literally, starting in media res. Okay.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It's like, this didn't need to be...
Like, was it just to be like, a big action thing happened. Keep watching, please.
I mean, if you want to do a horror episode, what they should have done was not opened on Enterprise, but opened on the, like, decrepit, fucked up Vulcan ship.
Oh, like that Voyager episode where they started on a Borg cube.
Yeah,
like
and alien. Then just, you know, turn a corner and there's a Vulcan being like, and you're like, what the fuck? That way you still get a screaming Vulcan, which is like, what the fuck? But it's a bit more atmospheric, I don't know.
Hey, but thank God they took a second to remind us once again that Vulcans do have emotions, they're just repressed.
I actually kind of like that scene, because we haven't gotten fucking any characterization out of any of the Makos.
Yeah.
Like, right now, they're all just interchangeable military people.
Yep.
And used fucking sporadically.
Yeah.
And this guy comes in and is like, oh, you Vulcans with your no emotions, and schools his ass. And I was like, good, I like this.
It's also necessary, I feel like, to restate sometimes, because I think even audiences forget sometimes... Fuck, we've seen Vulcan actors who don't seem to realize that. But also, I'll emphasize these guys have probably mostly been Earthbound, so, like, they're still kind of new to the whole space thing.
This might be the first Vulcan they've ever interacted with.
Yeah.
So, they come at it from an angle of racism.
Yes.
Well, it's at least a very true human response.
But yeah, no, I think it honestly, the show every so couple of years just needs someone to say that out loud because people genuinely seem to forget or don't know. It was interesting, I guess, when, you know, she was insisting, you know, we not kill them. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, it is a rescue mission. And that was a nice little moment. I mean, she was wrong in the long run. They were doomed per Phlox, which, again, mileage may vary.
I don't believe us.
Yeah, no. Phlox is going to steal your celery. He's going to talk through your movie. He's going to do lots of genocide for no fucking reason. It's honestly... I think Phlox just is like me. He has ADHD, you know, and he just is like trying to push off that thing he doesn't really want to do. It's like, I fucking could cure them, but god damn it if I don't want to play Sudoku.
Careful now. Identifying with Neelix is what made you love him. You don't want to accidentally
it's
love Phlox.
It's also what made me hate him. Hello? That's the whole
well,
point.
Neelix was so much better written.
I also just don't really think that Phlox and I have that much in common. No. I haven't done much genocide. My feet aren't that bad, and...
you hate celery.
I don't hate celery.
I know, I'm just kidding. Also, I love what we're talking
about. But
I don't
steal it off anybody's goddamn plate, though I was stealing chips off of my friend Pam's plate last night, so maybe I am Phlox.
Oh my god.
I do, and I am a movie talker. Mm. I am definitely a movie talker. Fuck you, don't look so
good. Yeah, that's fucked up.
Oh, quickly, let's touch on the B plot a little bit. So we've got Trip and Mayweather collecting rocks, mm-hmm. as they do.
Oh yeah.
I had a question. So they just beam a couple of these bits of asteroids in from space,
mm-hmm.
and then he just goes and touches it. Is that physically possible? Would it be, like, freezing cold and his hand would chip off if he tried
to
touch it?
Good point.
Is it covered in radiation, or did, like, the transporter get rid of that?
Well, that thing, like, certainly, like... Even if we assume that it beams aboard and gets up to temperature fast enough, you shouldn't be touching this weird space rock with your bare-ass hands.
Also true, especially since we learn later it is fucking toxic to Vulcans.
Yes. Yeah,
it should have been beamed into, like, the decon chamber.
Yeah, beamed into, like, some kind of containment device.
I don't know if they yet have the ability
to... site transport.
Yeah, like,
no,
I feel
at
like...
At least beam it into a container.
Or at least have, like...
Wear gloves!
There should be, like, a door. Like,
yeah, put a...
In fact, actually, the transporter should have just have a door anyway. Like,
yeah.
It shouldn't be... Because they don't have containment fields like they have in TNG, so...
Yeah.
If you beam something on that's a person that's violent or an animal or a...
Mineral. Something radioactive.
Vegetable, you'd want it to be contained somehow. So yeah, there should be like a fucking door. The transporter should be its own decon chamber.
Yeah. I mean, they're mostly using it... Like, it does... It's, you know, supposed to just be used for, like, cargo and shit that, you know...
Yeah,
you know,
but
like,
cargo could be dangerous, too.
Yeah. I guess, in theory, you're supposed to have checked it before you beam, and it's only supposed to be used for people in emergencies and yada yada. But yeah, they should definitely... Because then you have its own room. It's, like, just in a hallway, which is weird. It'll make it seem, again, like sort of an earlier version if, you know, you had to open a door to get to it.
Like, in the future, we do have the transporter room.
Yeah.
So what if, instead of, like... Kind of like the launch bay is, where there's the room that you have to go to open
to depressurize.
Yeah. Like if they had like if there was the transporter room, but there was like a little ante room that you had to go into to operate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an old X-ray room. Hey.
Yeah,
because that would also show like we've seen transporters a million times. We know that these are like early transporters.
Yeah.
It would be more interesting, like, and it would remind us that, oh yeah, these things don't work as well as the transporters that we're very, very used to.
Yeah. You know, it can't just strip things of dangerous elements automatically.
Except this one can, because we can just lick the asteroid once it beams on.
At least use tongs. Like those big 1930s, like, ice tongs when you had a truck come around with your ice for your fridge.
Yeah, I don't know, this seemed reminiscent of that other episode where they had to mine on an asteroid.
Oh, Silent Enemy? No, Breaking the Ice.
Yeah. That's the one they made a snowman?
They made a snowman.
No, not enough snowman in this one. Should have made a Rockman.
Rockman. Yeah, and then Trip and Tucker, nope, same guy. Trip and Mayweather, wow. They fly down there, Mayweather does a little landing, it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible fucking plan, going and landing on an asteroid in this fucking anomaly.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's what doesn't make sense.
Use your grappling hook.
Here's what makes zero sense to me, right? So, they're in this asteroid field looking for Trillium-D, because they need the Trillium-D because it blocks anomalies.
Yeah.
But there's an anomaly in this asteroid field.
But it's not refined, it's just the ore.
Oh, so you gotta refine it. It's... When it's unrefined form, it's just loaded with anomalies.
It's just stupid. Yeah.
Well, see, it blocks anomalies, but it doesn't necessarily, like, turn them off. And you figure the rock of these asteroids isn't 100% Trillium. You know, there's like, probably veins of it and chunks of it, but...
Big veiny Trillium.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, there's probably not enough in there to necessarily, you know... And again,
so, the Vulcans that we find that have gone mad have gone mad because they coated their ship with Trillium-D.
Or were starting to.
They were definitely
licking it. But they
just tastes so sweet.
They got far enough into coating the ship to go insane, but not... I don't understand anything in this fucking world.
I don't think the writers
do. Mercury poisoning.
Yeah. But it only affects certain people.
Yeah, Vulcans. delicious mercury. Never done me wrong. I drink a liter a day.
That explains some things.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Shit ain't cheap, neither.
Shit ain't cheap, neither.
How much is a liter of mercury?
Ding, ding,
so
do.
The Solea folk learned that they need to coat the ship in Trillium-D. How long? I don't know how long they've been out here in the expanse, dealing with anomalies and shit. And then the Von Kara comes to find them, is the retcon that we've decided. And everyone on the Von Kara... Did they also coat their ship in Trillium-D? Or did they just run into another vein of Trillium and go mad themselves?
That's a good question.
They're trying to, like, piece together, like, what makes the expanse so dangerous.
To Vulcans specifically.
To Vulcans specifically. And apparently that one Klingon ship that we learned about that turned into inside out and exploded. But I think it's also making it even more complicated because it's like, yeah, it's the anomalies happen, but mostly the Vulcans.
Maybe it actually happens to humans. It just takes longer because humans are so stupid.
The tracks.
Humans are so... Their skulls are so much thicker. that it takes longer for the Trillium poisoning to work its way in. Mm.
The little scene between T'Pol and Archer when he tells her, like, oh, we're going to have to abandon the Trillium thing because it will kill you. And she's, like, offers just, like,
drop me off on the next planet.
Yeah, to sacrifice herself.
Needs of the many Vulcan move.
Yeah, which is very Vulcan. It is a cute little character moment for her.
Yeah, she's just trying to get the fuck off. That she's like, you know, coming here was a mistake. I'm going to try to get passage back to Vulcan. Fuck this.
My steak.
Steak.
Sweet. So.
Yeah.
How about that Constable Odo?
Oh, goddamn it, Jake. Hang on. I have other notes.
We're already an hour and 10 minutes in.
Well, let's
we need the Rossi clock back.
Someone decided to go on for minutes at a time about true crime podcasts.
I think you're talking about me, Ames, and you can...
I sure am.
Well, stop being so fucking right all the time.
I'm having trouble figuring out how much a liter of mercury would cost, but it looks like it would be expensive. Chris. Because I found the cost of like 25 grams, now I forget how many grams in a liter. It's a pain in the ass. I'm done.
Yeah,
how many bananas?
So yes, this episode.
So all our zombie actors got special zombie movement training, and I think they did a good job.
Oh, that's fun.
I kind of want to have zombie movement training.
Hmm. Yeah, I feel like this was, like, also, I feel like half the reason they did this was because I feel like the early aughts was when there's a bit of a mini zombie boom.
Yeah, true.
And I've never really been into the zombie genre, so I'm just like, ugh, this.
Oh, man.
Plus, we already have Star Trek zombies. They're called Borgs.
Truth.
Yeah, but...
That's why I like your idea better of them just being...
Crazy.
Yeah, just being delusional coherent. And paranoid. And honestly... This is exactly what the Ponfar episode, Ponfar side of Bounty should have been, is just T'Pol getting emotional instead of getting horny because Ponfar is for losers.
Yeah, I think we even said, like, just have her lose her control, not go through Ponfar, just have her be a crazy fucking Vulcan because we know they were nuts.
I would like that a lot better. On my final note, it's been a while since we saw Fish Islands Crazy.
Yeah.
True.
That's always true. Fun.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, Warped Fish Islands, mm-hmm. too, like, where they did something else. They went real, real crazy with it.
Warped Fish Speed.
Meow. All right, I think I'm done with my notes. Well, let's move us along to our blogtivity for the week.
Yay!
Dogtivity.
Constable Odo, and as Jake already said.
Yeah, we're talking about the man behind the goo, our friend Constable Odo, who does a lot of fucked up shit, but also does some other not as fucked up shit.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to kick us off?
Goods or bads?
Goods.
Okay.
It was super cool how he... married Lwaxana.
Yay!
And took care of her and the baby.
I love that.
I know, that's like my favorite.
They have such great scenes about him and Lwaxana. They're all
I know,
great.
I love them together. I understand why it couldn't be, but I loved it. Let's see, another good Odo moment.
Oh no.
So
he's your favorite.
I know, and I'm like in the middle of a rewatch again. this is a really small, stupid moment, but I thought it was really cute. When we're in like the midst of him being super duper in love with Kira, there's an episode that opens and he checks the clock and he knows she's gonna be there in a minute, so he gets her a Roctigino just the way she likes it and puts it out and stuff.
I think that was the one where Shakar comes along and
totally
is a huge buzzkill.
Yeah, it's
because
totally
later on he tries it again and she's like, oh, but I'm hanging out with Shakar. Kira, no.
I already had coffee with Shakar this morning after I sucked his dong. Oh my god, Kira, you freak.
That was Crossfire, I think.
Sounds
at
right.
At least that's what I'm going to go look for in
Crossfire.
Don't get caught in the Crossfire!
From Mattel. Or whatever. Fuck. I feel like I had an inkling of a third thing that was good and now I'm struggling with it. Oh my god, you guys. Why did I say I would go first? It's because I didn't want anybody to take my good ones, that's why. But I only had one good one and the rest of it's bullshit. fuck. But at least this gives me plenty of time to think of bad things, and I can already think of at least one. What's the episode? Okay, you know the episode where he and, like, Quark are going up the mountain?
Yeah, ascent.
Yeah.
I feel like his love for Quark is really big
Quark's
in that episode.
Ass up a mountain.
Yeah.
Doesn't Quark ultimately the one who makes it, though? Who actually winds up, like, doesn't Odo have to, like, give up and Quark keeps going, or is it the other way around?
I don't remember.
Because Quark was injured.
Oh, right, yeah, he had a broken leg or some shit,
yeah.
And Odo's like, I'm hauling your ass up this mountain.
I thought Odo broke his leg.
Yeah, I
Odo
thought that, too, but why
did Odo have a leg
Odo
at that
was
time?
Human at the time.
Oh, he had a leg at
because
the time.
Because otherwise he could have just flown up.
Solid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true.
Well, either way, that the relationship in general with that episode...
Bonding, I mean.
Yeah, their bondage is pretty good, too.
Oh, my.
He did.
That's for later.
Odo, like, just does horrible things to Quark's ears.
Woof. Goes right into him. Oh,
no, God, okay, I'm taking next, so we stop this fucking chain of discussion.
I am super aroused.
I'm gonna give him, you know, just trying his best. Doesn't really succeed, but he tries his best in The Abandoned to raise a good little Jem'Hadar.
Oh man, that's on my bad list. Because he's not at all good at it.
No, but that's the, you know, he's trying. He's failing so hard because he's just...
He means so well and he's so bad at it.
So bad.
Poor Odo.
Some people shouldn't have kids.
Constable Odo.
Giving Wayoon 6 his dying wish of a blessing.
Yes, I love that.
Oh, fuck. I was just talking about that.
Yeah, I'm almost surprised you didn't say that one.
God damn it. Put that one in.
It's already in. Chris just mentioned it. So
I
it's in.
Put it for me. I can't believe I fucking forgot that. I love that scene. It's
kind of surprised you didn't have this one, but you had a related one, so it makes sense. The elevator scene in The Forsaken.
Yes, with Lwaxana. Every time he's with Lwaxana.
Well, yeah, but that's more of a good Lwaxana moment.
I mean, he opens up. He, you know, we learn about it.
Yeah, but he literally has no option. Like, he's about to literally turn into goo.
No, but even I still think it's a good scene.
Yeah, but he could have just turned into goo down the elevator shaft.
And away from Lwaxana. No, he couldn't.
There was a feel because
she specifically, Kira's like, by the way, don't think you're going to escape because there's some kind of shit going on. So no, that couldn't have happened.
But even before he turned to goo, which he had no choice to do, you know, there was a moment of growth for him regardless.
Yeah, there was a moment of vulnerability. Which was definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Good choices, Chris.
Thank you.
Damn it, I can't believe I fucking... Blessing. That makes me so mad. That is such...
It's like, what are your favorite scenes?
It is literally one of my favorite scenes, and so relatable.
Yeah, I'm always giving blessings to people that worship me. What have you blessed to die? Anyway. Alright, well, I actually had a few extra, so I'm going to swap out some of these for just for sake of variety.
Hooray!
But one that hasn't been mentioned that I really liked was his relationship with the baby changeling.
And is that the Begotten?
When you mentioned the Jem'Hadar, I thought you were going in this direction.
Yeah, I had considered this one too. So.
I don't know, whichever one it was where they find
the little baby goo.
Where Quark sells him a dying, what he thinks
and
is a dead
makes
changeling.
And he makes himself into Odo's face.
Yeah, and Mora's there, helping-ish.
On this, my fourth watch through of Deep Space Nine, I've really come to more appreciate Mora. He's really trying his best.
He's a well-meaning man.
Yeah.
He was a scientist first. He didn't intend for Odo to be sentient.
Yeah. It is the Begotten, by the way.
Thank you.
Good work, everybody.
All right, so let's go with overcoming.
Wait, that's not... Is that it, or...?
No, overcoming his fascist tendencies, which we know he has.
And he often does not overcome.
To help expose Admiral Layton's conspiracy.
Ooh.
In Paradise Lost.
I just watched that.
Yeah, because he jailbreaks Sisko and, works out.
How the fuck do you spell Layton? I know it's L-A-Y-T-O-N.
Yeah,
no, it's one of
those. Or is it L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N?
One of
that one.
I'll look it up later. It'll be on the blog correctly.
And let's say showing up and even though he knew it was probably futile, at least slowing things down enough so that O'Brien didn't get executed by the Cardassians.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, in Tribunal?
I thought of that, too.
Yes, because he was the Nestor.
He was the Nestor. And if he hadn't shown up... They would have got O'Brien before could have saved him.
All the flattering he did.
He's like, let's actually put up a defense.
Yeah. It is L-E-Y-T-O-N.
Oh, good. That's what I wrote down.
That was my first guess.
Like Professor Layton.
Like Professor Layton, yeah.
Oh, well, you guys have already said my top four already. all the Lwaxana moments, the moments with Baby Goo, and the moments with Dying Wayoon, which are lovely, lovely moments. But I got some spares,
because
lots of great stuff Odo does. I think this is such a beautiful, beautiful scene.
Beautiful
In Chimera, when at the very end, you know, Loss has gone away to do his thing, and Kira's like, oh, what, I knew you liked, you know, hanging out with another changeling, someone whom you could link with, and he does... his version of linking with Kira.
When they hold hands
and she orgasms hard.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful scene because it's also got that weird lighting effect that's lovely. And I love that, you know, he finds love in his own way and he makes it work. And it's so cute. So that's
one of the few times in which, like, them not just will they or won't they, they actually do, and it's actually worth it.
Yeah, you're most like, oh, of the good, time I it's want
a,
them to.
Most of the time it's a goddamn letdown. But in this particular instance it was
see our
great.
Bad list in a moment.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've got another cute moment, and that's the little interactions he has with I didn't write down her name. The little girl from Shadow Play, who's actually a hologram.
Mara?
I have no idea what her name was. I'll find it and it'll be on the blog. Because he's like, yes, but she, even though she's a hologram, she should still exist. And he fights for her right to exist. And it's very sweet. So I like that about him. And the last thing I'm going to say, I'm going to pick another one. It's going to be figuring out that it's Martok who's the changeling in Apocalypse Rising.
Taya. Or Taya.
Taya.
T-A-Y-A. I was really hoping I was right. It's the only reason I looked it up. I was like, oh, did I remember her name? Fucking spoiler, I did not.
Taya. Yeah, I liked her. She was fun.
She was great, and she was a good actor, too, which, you know.
Yeah, she did exactly what that episode needed her. Be a hologram.
Hologram.
Oh, but otherwise, Odo does some fucked up shit sometimes, guys.
I mean, he is a huge fascist.
Can I throw an honorable mention?
Yeah.
Saving the Alpha Quadrant and the Great Link. Saving both quadrants.
And doing it pretty selflessly,
just
too.
Just overall, like, by the end of the show, it's like he's the one that's done most of it.
Like,
well, because he goes back to end the war.
Yeah, he's the one that shows up in the nick of time to link with the founder.
Oh, that's right.
And give the treatment to her.
Yeah, and then they enter an agreement.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
a
then
good
she's
thing.
Everybody's so cured and he gets to take
over. I
guess
Bashir gets some credit there. For,
yeah, but I'm not going to give Bashir credit because the way that
Bashir.
He got that info
yeah.
is fucking problematic.
Yeah,
it's also not Bashir's week.
Yes, but yeah, Odo delivered it. And then he and then you know,
broke
and then,
my goddamn
and then he
heart.
Goes to the Gamma Quadrant to cure the rest of the link.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good night thought of that too.
Cute. So what stupid shit do we have on our list of Odo
stupid.
Moments?
Well, he and Curzon decide that they don't want to break up, and that's pretty douchey. It's really shitty to Dax, obviously.
Yeah, because that's taking a whole part.
Or to Jadzia.
That's all taking a whole part of her symbiont identity thing.
Yeah, it's some bullshit. It's very shitty. The time that he decided that he was going to kill all of those people on that weird tomorrow planet.
Children of Time.
Yeah.
Because he wanted Kara to live. Not that, I mean, I understand.
I get it, but
I would feel compelled to do
the
same, I suppose.
He's a shit.
And then, hold on, I had another one. Oh my god! Fucking linking over and over with the evil fucking
so
bad shapeshifter weird mommy thing when, ugh, hate it.
Yeah, gross Odo, real gross.
Gross Odo. There you go, that was much easier than the good ones. Wow, Odo really does suck, huh?
I'm not gonna lie, that was the thing, when it was like, oh, Odo, it's like, well, he fucked up this way, he fucked up that, he fuck, he's a fascist, it's like... You love him, but he is a fascist.
I forgot a good thing.
A good thing?
When he let Kira not go to jail for doing the murder.
Ooh.
That was a good one, wasn't
it?
That's
interesting. I mean, that's the Noiri episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, while I thought of many off the top of my head, I only wrote down three, and two are already taken, and I'm sticking to them.
Cool.
So yeah, I specifically put fucking the female changeling so much he
so
forgets
much.
His duties.
So much.
Because isn't he specifically, like, isn't he supposed to be involved in a sabotage plan, but he's too busy getting laid? Like,
yeah, he doesn't show up when he's supposed to, and like days have gone by and no one's seen him, and he probably stinks horribly.
Yeah, I think don't they end up arresting Rom because of it even or something? Because he's not there?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so specifically that time where he like misses his job because of it.
Oh, damn it, another good one. When he's the umpire in the baseball fucking game. Okay. He's great!
That's gonna have to be comedy, Odo.
Ejecting Sisko.
He was just perfect. Sorry, Chris.
And again, I get why he did it, but he was overriding everyone's wishes in Children of Time.
Yep, he's a bad man.
And again, it works out for the best for everyone, but, well, except all the time people. But it's probably better in the long run for, you know, the Alpha and Gamma quadrants and all that. Anyway, yeah. And the events of things past, when he decided to be lazy and not properly investigate,
you're right.
Innocent people were executed.
Yes.
Oops.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
Whoopsie.
Eventually.
Well, shit.
Well, I had lots of ideas, and I only wrote down three, and all of them have been taken.
My three are the same exact three as Chris.
Good job, guys.
Fuck, and I didn't have backups.
I have a lot.
Okay, well, I have we're going to skip me.
Because he is a big fascist. He does a lot of shitty fascist things.
The way I wrote it down, what I actually wrote down was shacking up with the founder,
mm-hmm.
sabotaging the plan in Children of Time, and working for the goddamn Cardies.
Building on our Oda was a fascist theme, I have a great... I just found, looking up something else, a great dialogue scene that I think encapsulates the fascism part of Oda.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the episode The Maquis. I'm just going to do all the voices because I don't feel like dealing with sharing a computer screen. And here's my Odo. It's going to be great.
I'm so excited.
Fuck my life. It's their own fault. I've been warning them from the beginning. What are you talking... Oh, God, that's not O'Brien's voice. That was Kira's voice. What you talking about, their fault? You're in charge of security.
There you go.
Me be in charge of security, I will give you a safe station. You people tell me to do my job, then give me a Federation rulebook listing all the things I can't do. Untie my hands before you start to blame me, Mr. O'Brien. Here's Dax with a new voice, evidently. I'm sure no one meant to blame you, Odo. Give me the right to set a curfew. Let me do more searches of arriving passengers. Give me 50 more deputies. He's getting a little Ducat in here, apparently.
And the station will be just the way it was during the occupation.
Say what you like, it was safer then.
Unless you happen to be a Bajoran.
And that's Kira. Snap, 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 snap. Fucking fascist Odo loves the fascism.
Let me tie them to their chairs and lock them in their houses and burn them down!
Yeah, so I just
wanted... Dear God!
I wanted that particular exchange, because I think the Odo is a fascist is such an umbrella thing that this encapsulates the fascism.
It's like he is a fascist. Let's see how.
Yes, that's the good fascist example. But here are some things, a little individual moments on my list. Oh boy, I'm shocked this one hasn't come up. Fucking that woman in witness protection.
That wasn't bad. It was great.
No, it was fucking terrible.
First intimacy.
I forgot that. Yeah.
No, because it's fucking gross. It's a conflict of fucking interest, Odo.
Been hanging with Julian too long.
You masturbate to what you want to masturbate to, and then let me do the same. God
no,
damn it.
It was disgusting. Here's another gross thing he does with women, and that's the whole making a fuck puppet of Kira in his way. Because Vic was like, I can make you a fuck puppet of Kira. And he's like,
I forgot about that, too.
Well, no, he didn't know. He thought he was really having dinner with her. And then he was like, you did great with this fake.
Vic tricked him.
No, he tricked him at the end.
Yeah.
At the beginning, he knew it wasn't Kira.
Okay.
Well, there was a whole moment where it's like, this isn't Kira, and that's weird. And he's like, well, how about I make her more real? He's like, okay. Odo, weird.
Well, in defense of Odo, though, it was Vic's idea.
Yeah, Vic did the really fucked up thing and invited actual Kira when he thought it was fake Kira. That's fucked up on Vic's part.
It's all kind of fucked up on Vic's part.
The whole episode is fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked up. I'm not trying to forgive Odo. I'm just saying that, like, he's already not really quite clear on solids. He really doesn't understand how solids do relationships. Vic pretends to know and is like, this is a good idea. And Odo's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But still, I'll shut on the episode, so I'm going to.
Fair enough.
Here's a couple other little things. Because he does this twice, and goddammit, Odo. Quitting like a little baby.
Yep.
When Primin comes on board and Move Along Home, and then doing the same exact fucking thing.
Oh, what's his name?
Eddington. When Eddington comes on board.
I almost called him like Entimans.
Because of the search.
Well, that's just because. They forgot that they had Primin, and that's why they introduced.
Well, that's because Eddington's a better character.
Yeah.
One day more.
Until then.
No, especially then, Ames.
Do I have some good honorable mention moments. I have, oh god, all the jealousy of Shakar in Crossfire. And then he goes ballistic in his quarters and breaks the beautiful plant that Kira had gotten him as a gift.
What a stupid bitch.
Which is just mean.
Yeah, that was stupid. But on the other hand, Shakar was being a dumb bitch and being like, do you think she likes me? So, I mean, I'm just saying, there was no right in that one. Everybody was wrong.
Well, that's when you can't. Well, he's not an adult. He's a goo. He doesn't have reference for how to act like a person. But he's still, a
goo. Gee goo. It's still
like adolescent. Like whoa. Like we're all a bunch of teenagers not getting along.
Yeah.
Here's another little one just for fun. In A Man Alone, he's accused of murder, and then he's looking into the murder, and then realizes, huh. I could have done this murder in these other ways. Odo, stop implicating yourself.
I wish I had done this murder and done it better.
Yeah, so he's like, of course I didn't do this murder. I wouldn't have fucked up this bad.
Here's 15 ways I would have done it.
Here's my whole book of how to get away with killing Quark someday.
Huh, why don't the Bajorans trust me?
Right after he's told that's, you know, he's not guilty, he releases like a if I did it style book, like O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
But he's like, well, if I'd done it, I'd have done it better. Here's my pad about it. Pad, double D pad. You know.
Double D.
I know that there's two D's in pad because I've been reading Imzadi forever.
Yay! How are you liking it?
I like it.
Isn't it cute?
I made it like 80 pages into it. It's very cute. Which is very far for me in books lately, so good job, Ames. You hooked me up.
Yeah, I know those pages also have like the super tiny font.
You're right. It was more like 100 pages, yeah. Ames. I am a fucking warrior.
It's like a Dover Thrift.
A what?
Dover Thrift.
Remember the Dover Thrift editions of like... I never had to...
I don't know what the fuck that is.
Well, they're printed on fucking the thinnest paper that exists...
They are, yeah, they're very cheap editions of public domain, like, novels
with
and
very
stuff.
Tiny writing. So you
small writing crammed onto, yeah. I'm surprised I never came across them.
If I have, I just didn't know the name of them, but...
Oh, yeah, well, they're always very plainly labeled. They stand out. They actually, like, some of my classes in college actually said, yeah, just buy the Dover Thrift version.
I was just going to say, they're such a cock tease because they existed, but fucking every class I was in was like, all right, but you have to get the Penguin Super Edition because we're going to read an essay. And I would just get the Dover Thrift because I'd be like, I'm not going to fucking read that essay anyway. I know better.
Yeah,
by senior year, I knew what I was and wasn't going to do.
Most of my professors were very nice, but they didn't assign the cheaper version. They were like, look, it's fine if you buy the cheaper one, just make sure... You know what the pagination is, just in case it's different.
Oh, that's right. Yes, everyone read until page 30 today. You're like, uh-oh. That's a lot more than you guys have.
Anyway, that's reminiscing about stuff that was happening, well, around the time of Enterprise.
Ooh,
which we are still dealing with next week.
So much more.
Woof.
Yep, we will be looking at Exile.
Eggs.
And
ooh, I like eggs.
The Shipment.
Shit.
I'm hoping they're shipping eggs.
And appropriately, our... person next Spot. Week is Odo's boyfriend, Quark.
Love it. Oh, I'm so jazzed. Boyfriend.
So look forward to that. Follow us on the Facebook and the Tumblr, and follow us on your favorite SoundCloud, podcasting application. We're on the SoundCloud, certainly.
And don't forget, the Google playlist is going away in a fucking month because nothing good can stay.
Yes, that too. This might, by the time this is up, it might be gone. Who the hell knows? So check your calendars. This has been Chris.
This has been Ames.
This has been Caitlin.
This is Jake.
Shooter!
Can you imagine the domestic abuse complaint calls if phasers became a thing? Like, people would just be knocking out their spouses constantly.
And especially children.
Oh, and children.
Oh, yeah. My God. Just put it on widespread lowest stun setting.
Yup. Timmy's being loud again.
Well, and you know that they would, too, because, like, they used to be like, oh, the baby's colicky. Put some brandy on its gums. That'll stop it.
I'm going to guess that, like, the stun setting, although it's not lethal, it does, like, take 5 years off your life every time
you get
shot with it.
Well, that's okay. They live forever in the future.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's probably one of those things that it's like, you know, you've got to also understand how advanced their medicine is. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't kill you, but if not for 24th century medicine, you would be, like, severely permanently injured.
Mm.
Well, nowadays we know that they can reroute your neural synapses.
Nowadays?
Whatever the fuck Phlox is doing.
Oh, no. In their day.
Yeah.
In Enterprise days, not today.
No.
Not yet.
Well, no.